Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. We want to welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, February 21st, 2014. Hope you are having a very good day and looking forward to a great weekend. We're live here 12:04 to 1 each weekday on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We also stream and podcast the show, so you can listen on your schedule anytime, anywhere in the world at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And our media partners, always like to thank them every Friday, Tucson Sentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun, and blogforarizona.com all have prominent links displayed on their web pages that get you over to our website. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon is with newly named, one month anniversary of being sworn in as Arizona's newest state senator, Andrea D'Alessandro, representing District 2. Joining me to question Senator D'Alessandro, Mark Evans, editor of Inside Tucson Business. If you have a question or comment, we would be happy to hear from you at 790-2040, and we also invite you to be a friend of the Buckmaster Show on our Facebook page. Andrea D'Alessandro, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good to see you, Bill. Happy to be here.
And Mark, always a pleasure.
My pleasure, Bill. Hoping that as soon as the rodeo and the golf tournament over, it rains.
Yeah,
not before, but after, I hope it rains because we need some.
I know, and folks have been talking about, isn't the wonderful weather great? Yes, but as I said on Facebook recently, the looming big story of the year is the big drought.
Right.
And that is what's right around the corner. Senator, how is it going? You, as I say, you were sworn in a month. It was 1 month tomorrow.
That's correct.
And, of course, you took over when State Senator Linda Lopez resigned to go full-time in private industry. You were a representative, House representative. How is it different, life in the Senate?
Well, it took me 7 years to become a representative and about 7 weeks to become a senator. I want to thank the Democratic PCs and the Board of Supervisors for their faith and trust in me.
PCs being not politically correct, but the precinct captains.
Yes.
They may be politically correct, but they are precinct captains.
They are most of the time.
Yes.
I had the advantage of knowing most of the senators, from when they were in the House or other venues over the 7 years when I was preparing to be representative. I have a little bigger office. I still haven't unpacked because I've been very busy since I was sworn in. I was honored that Chief Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Birch White swore me in. Mm-hmm. So that was a big honor. We have three committees in the Senate as opposed to two, and they're different areas than I served in before. I'm on Judiciary, Public Safety, Natural Resources, and Rural Affairs, which is a good fit for my district.
Here's Mark.
So the big news this week, obviously, is the bill that's already passed the Senate and House and is waiting for the governor to decide what to do, which is the so-called Religious Freedom Bill, which, according to conservative Christians, gives them their First Amendment religious freedoms to not be coerced into doing business with people that would cause them to feel be a violation of their religious beliefs, and others call is a freedom to discriminate against the LGBT community. What do you think is the governor's going to do, and what do you think will be the repercussions if it becomes law for Arizona?
Well, I really don't have a crystal ball to figure out what the governor will do, but I do hope the business community comes forward and pressures her, because this is a bad bill. You know, she increased in the executive's budget, she's increased her efforts for tourism, and this kind of undoes it, because I'm getting emails already from people saying that, you know, they're not going to come to Arizona ever. I think it's part of a sad continuum in this state, starting with the reluctance to recognize the Martin Martin Luther King Day. Then with SB 1070 and, you know, show me your papers. Now with these two bills, it's show me who you love. And I think it's going to be fraught with all kinds of discrimination.
Just as the tourism industry is really rebounding.
Definitely. Sherry Henry, the director of tourism for Arizona, has worked very closely with me and my constituents in Pima County and in Santa Cruz County. You know, we're also trying to get the film industry going. You know, this is going to be, I think, a very serious, detrimental economic development move.
Another kind of a controversial item that came up yesterday in the Senate, the Senate Education Committee voting 6-3 along party lines to start the process to dismantle the Common Core standards for the state that were adopted 4 years ago. Does this have legs?
I'm not certain about that. I support Common Core. You know, I was an educator. It's higher on the Bloom's taxonomy than our previous standards. You know, if we can get students to think critically, analyze, synthesize, that is really a good thing. I personally, what's holding me up, I have concerns about high-stake testing, which is, you know, linked with the Common Core.
Well, go ahead,
Mark. Well, so is Ames, and Ames is supposed to have been being on its last year this year, because Common Core is supposed to take over the year after that. If this bill is successful, what's the status of Ames?
Well, I think in any event, Ames is going to be phased out.
So would that mean we would not have a high stakes test for graduation in Arizona for high school graduates?
Well, I think that the alternatives is for the whole state to adopt one of the, like the PARC or the other test, or have local control, and for the interim period, perhaps have local school districts.
Which is what this bill attempts to do, right?
Yes, I believe so. I think that not all districts are created equal. Some, I've spoken to Calvin Baker in Vail, and, you know, they're ready to go. But other districts haven't had the resources to develop their plan. So that's why I'm concerned.
Do you think that this will pass the Senate? I mean, it's passed this committee. Now, how will it do before the full body?
I'm not certain. Yeah.
How do you feel? How would you vote on it right now?
And truthfully, Bill, sure. I haven't read the bill, so
okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Well, go ahead, Mark.
You and every other senator yesterday voted for President Biggs's bill to have an outside agency review CPS,
yes,
and provide some funding for that. But the governor has already had two appointed groups that have reviewed CPS. Mm-hmm. Everybody seems to have a good idea what's wrong and how to fix it. Why do we need another study? And wouldn't this delay, because it would take time to get this group together, to have them come spend some time and do their study and then provide some results, wouldn't this delay to the next legislative session creating CPS as a standalone agency, and it would have to remain for a year or more in this limbo situation?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that bill came before us at the very last minute, and we would have liked to offer amendments to it. I think it is a good idea to have an outside, now that we're having some changes, have another outside source evaluate and try to bring best practices from other states in. I'm sorry, I'm not well-versed on the previous study, so I couldn't talk about that. But it did come as a surprise. We're told that there are going to be amendments added, that it's more specific. I also have met several times in groups with Mr. Flanagan, and he's doing a really good job. And he's tough. He has a proven track record with juvenile detention, and I have a lot of confidence in him that he'll do the right thing. One of my big concerns, and I've spoken to the governor about this, is that the caseworkers have the resources that we need. In her state, opening day speech, she spoke about CPS reform, and human trafficking. So I've asked to make sure that the caseworkers have resources about that, also about suicide prevention and things. We ask the social workers to do a lot, the caseworkers, and they have an at-risk, a growing at-risk population, but we also often don't give them the correct, all the resources that they need.
Given that the governor has sprung this on everybody, like she likes to do, to create a big dramatic event for her her State of the State speech, she's essentially put this agency in a state of limbo. And if the legislature can't resolve this year, you're still going to have to pass a budget, and you would have to pass a budget with CPS under the DES line item, would you not?
Well, I don't believe that that's true. I could be wrong, but I don't believe that that's true.
So you could, just as a matter of budgetary, the budget process, you could pull CPS out without it actually being its own standalone agency yet?
I believe that's what they want us to do.
Really? Okay.
We had Senator Farley on the show this week, and he was talking about, he was a little bit concerned about putting a lot of money into kind of revamping the Child Protective Services, when maybe that money could be put back into really going where it's needed right now to caseworkers.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we did vote emergency provision. I believe I was still in the House when we moved something along quickly to provide more funding. And it's not just more funding. They really need to have best practices, proven things, and that have been demonstrated in other states.
All right. It's coming up now on 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to take our first break of the hour. It is our Friday Focus interview. State Senator Andrea D'Alessandro is with us, and Mark Evans is here from Inside Tucson Business. 790-2040 if you have any questions about the Arizona legislature that you would like to throw on the table. We will be happy to entertain it. We'll be right back.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques, in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top-quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. Check out the fantastic savings during the February Valentine's Day sale at the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell, and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook, or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com, or call 498-4615.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is our Friday Focus interview, and once a week we always bring in a newsmaker to talk about what's going on in the different areas and states. Senator Andrea D'Alessandro is with us, and Andrea, we're going to take our first call right here. Go ahead. Tom, you're with us.
Senator, will the state legislature appropriate money for the Sunvan disability transportation system that the city of Tucson runs for the disabled so that the fares won't go up?
Is there any state funding, Senator D'Alessandro, that goes into that?
I believe that there are some federal funding that comes through the state, but it doesn't come through the legislature. It's just a pass through from the federal, you know, to the state, to the local, that the legislators don't have any input on.
Mark, do you have any information on that?
For the question is whether the state is going to appropriate money for the city of Tucson's public transportation system. Nobody's proposing that. I don't think there's a bill for it, nor if there was a bill for it, I don't believe that the Republicans in the state legislature would be amenable to that.
State Senator Andrea D'Alessandro with us on our Friday Focus interview, and Mark Evans is here from Inside Tucson Business. Is there anything going on at the legislature, Senator, that would move to try to send a message to the folks in Washington how important Davis-Monthan is to the Tucson community?
Well, the governor has some funding in her budget for support of her military bases because, let's face it, in Tucson we have three main economic drivers: the University of Arizona, Davis-Monthan, and Raytheon. I'm very concerned about Davis-Monthan because it provides jobs to our civilians. It really is an important economic driver, for good-paying jobs. And as you know, in Tucson, they're often few and far between.
Mark, we had a discussion, and Senator, we had a discussion yesterday, kind of the launch of a new segment here on the show called The Showdown, and the topic was poverty. And I wonder, Senator, what's the Andrea D'Alessandro solution to getting people out of poverty and bringing this city up a little bit in the rankings of impoverished communities?
Well, one of my main reasons for running is education, and I think that we have to start before school. We have to have affordable health care, that women are healthy when they become pregnant, that they have prenatal care, that there are excellent opportunities for both daycare and preschool education. That's why I wasn't exactly for Representative Kavanaugh's effort to try to drain First Things First. I think that would help. Those things would help us prepare students to be on more equal footing when they come into first kindergarten. You know, my district is a minority-majority district. When the lines for LD2 were drawn, 30% of the children lived in poverty. Now, 2 short years later, it's up to 34%. So that's what I wake up with every morning.
You're the prime sponsor on a bill that so far isn't moving very far to create a state-owned bank. What is that all about?
Well, we hear from both homeowners. I bought a place up in Phoenix. I had to jump through hoops to get a mortgage. But more importantly, I hear a lot from small businesses that who are unable. We would like to keep the money in Arizona. I have a few people who are encouraging me to do this. It was hard with the transition from the House to the Senate. My bills got filed, and I didn't have a chance to talk to many senators. But I have spoken to one on the other side of the aisle who's interested in exploring it. It might take me my whole 8 years at the Senate to get it through, but I believe Nebraska has one. And with the current attitude negative towards Wall Street financiers, that I think that this might get some legs. And of course, it's easy for me because I'm a clean election candidate, so I don't take money from anybody's PAC.
So would it be simply a lending organization?
Yes. But right now, one of the big obstacles we have is that the Arizona Constitution forbids extending credit in any way. So it would require a constitution change.
Which would require a vote of the...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Any news about trying to keep the main post, the cherry bell processing, the postal center? I know you've been really outspoken about trying to keep it from closing.
Right.
And moving everything to Phoenix. What's the timetable now on that?
Well, our mail is going up to Phoenix. The Congress is still considering postal reform. Claire McCaskill is on the committee, and I have called her and sent her emails because I really feel that if we're going to move forward in economic development, we need to fix our roads, especially from the airports, but we need to have a mail processing center here. It makes no sense to send our mail from Nogales or Tucson up to Phoenix, and most of it's going to come back here. I feel that it hurts small business, hurts lawyers who have to mail time-sensitive materials, and more importantly, our vote by mail. I don't think they can handle it.
I agree with you. I mean, what kind of message does that send for people that are thinking of maybe relocating a business to Southern Arizona, and then they find out, well, you don't even have a mail processing center?
I mean,
it's crazy.
I can't wait till the University of Arizona does a mailing and they have ASU symbol on it. Then, you know, it makes it crazy. People are asking me if they're telling me their neighbor, their families are asking them if they move because they see the Phoenix postmark.
And Mark is sitting here, Mark Evans, smiling through all this because he has maintained, and I don't want to mischaracterize what you said, but I think you've maintained that it's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal.
No.
It's not a big deal. So let's not get into that.
Okay.
In a committee vote this week, you voted against Senate Bill 1267, which is an agricultural bill that would require anyone who obtains evidence of animal cruelty and agricultural uses, that they turn that over to law enforcement, and then it strengthens the animal cruelty laws. You voted against it, but your fellow rural Democrat, Lynn Pancrazzi, voted for it. Why are you opposed to that bill?
The sticking point was for me was that it reduced the charges for animal cruelty from a felony to a misdemeanor. That was the sticking point for me. And with regard to the 5-day, I think sometimes it might take longer to build a case. Naturally, no one wants animals tortured or abused in any way.
Andrea D'Alessandro, thank you very much for being with us. And 1 month now at the State Senate, and we want to wish you all the best. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Moncada Construction, licensed, bonded, and insured. Chris Moncada and his team specialize in interior painting, drywall repair, carpentry, and insurance restoration. In other words, if you have any kind of needs that inside the house that you need sprucing up, give Chris a call at 520-390-2247 or on the web at Moncada, M-O-N-C-A-D-A construction.com, and they welcome credit cards. We'll be right back on the Friday Roundtable coming up on the Buckmaster Show.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental, the number one party rental company and an official partner of the Tucson Festival of Books, one of the best events in the country. Here's someone to tell you more.
I'm Bruce Beach, one of the founders of the Tucson Festival of Books. The festival attracts over 100,000 people, 450 authors, and 250 exhibitors over a three-day period. We work with over 30 different vendors, and it's a pleasure working with Ken and the Arizona Party Rental team, one of the most professional group of people I've ever worked with. It's amazing how they can set up the entire U of A mall with tents, tables, and chairs everywhere in such a short period of time. It's impressive how Arizona Party Rental always comes through with a smile.
Thanks a lot, Bruce, and to everyone associated with this literary extravaganza. Be sure to mark your calendar for the 6th Annual Tucson Festival of Books, March 15th and 16th on the beautiful U of A campus. And be sure to visit Arizona Party Rental on Speedway west of Alvernon or online at arizonapartyrental.net.
The important message you're about to hear is brought to you by Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona.
Is your water hard to live with? Are you tired of water that tastes bad and smells bad too? Do you have hard water buildup on your shower walls, tile, and faucets? Are you tired of dry skin and dull hair? Are you tired of dingy laundry? What about premature replacing of faucets, fixtures, dishwashers, and water heaters? Well, it's time to do something about it, and Culligan Water of Tucson has a solution. A high-efficiency water softener that can eliminate these problems for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months rental with an annual service agreement. It's easy. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700 for complete details on this introductory offer. This is a limited-time offer, so call us today and start enjoying all the benefits and the savings of a Culligan high-efficiency water softener now. Remember, 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is time now for our Friday Reporters Roundtable. Mark Evans stays with us after our leadoff interview with Andrea D'Alessandro. Mark B. Evans, B for boy, his middle initial, just not so it doesn't confuse with someone else who I guess is really famous in the media.
There's some other big Mark Evans, right?
But
there was when I started early on in the state.
Started in your career, yeah. So, Mark B. Evans.
I'm thinking of shortening it to MB Evans.
Mark is the editor of Inside Tucson Business, and also with us, Dan Gibson, today. We welcome Dan. This is Dan's first appearance on the Buckmaster Show Friday Reporters Roundtable, and Dan is the editor of the Tucson Weekly, which is celebrating its 30th anniversary. Whoopee!
Yeah, we got a fancy issue out on thicker paper this week.
Is this like a commemorative keepsake?
Yeah, you want to hang on to it. It's gonna be really valuable. I'm gonna put one up on eBay right after the issues are off the street, so just get it now.
What'd you learn in going back through the archives and I guess you had to vet out a lot of material, kind of hitting one kind of big story of each of the three decades, right?
Sort of the scope of what we've written about. It's an interesting sort of like look about through the history of Tucson over the last 30 years and sort of like the modern era of Tucson. And it's got big authors in it, Edward Abbey and Barbara Kingsolver. And, you know, just realize the sort of depth of the work that's been done ahead of my term there. And I'm hoping that I'm continuing that. But I guess time will tell.
What jumped out at me is that the issues are still the same.
Yeah, it is largely that. It's like, oh, hey, here's something about mining. Right, exactly. Crazed politicians trying to have their way with our state.
Mark, you were at the Bond Advisory Committee meeting this morning. This is a group of what? How many people are on the committee?
Well, there were 20 members there, and I think there were three or four who didn't show up. It's a pretty big committee. A
couple dozen that are on this committee. And this is the decision that they will be passing on to the Pima County Board of Supervisors about whether or not there'll be a bond election, right?
Right. So they've been kicking the bond election can down the road because the assessed values have fallen so much in the county that and during the recession, there was just no way voters were going to approve it, and they didn't have enough room under their secondary property tax cap. But now they think that they'll have both things in 2015, an increase in the assessed values, and that they'll have a decrease in the amount of bonding because they're retiring old debt. So they're trying to put together, they're trying to ferret through or weed through $1.3 billion in projects that have been requested from organizations throughout the community. And as part of that was been a long waited for expansion of the Pima Animal Care Center. They've been talking about expanding that outmoded building over there since early 2000s. And it was supposed to be on the 2009 bond package, and that got pulled because of the collapse of the world economy. Mm-hmm. People who really support the PACC, they didn't want to have to wait again because if the voters vote for it in 2015, you won't even be able to start construction until 2016. So they asked the county and they asked the Bond Advisory Committee to pull that off of the whole package and move it up and have it its own vote in November. And because it's already a big election, the countywide election, there's really no cost to the county to add that one item onto the ballot.
So there could be, you're saying, in effect, one item on the ballot.
Well, the one bond item.
Not just one item.
There will be some other things I've heard.
I'm not sure. Senators, congressmen.
But anyway.
So they've recommended to the Board of Supervisors that that they do that. So now that the Bond Advisory Committee has made that recommendation, it goes to the Supes. They're expected to decide. They have to decide next month. So that they have time to get enough people together to support it and go out and stump for it and get voters to approve it. It's about $22 million of an expansion.
Well, right now they have a tent city.
Right. I mean, one of the problems that they have is not only it was built in 1968 and then it was expanded in the late 90s, but it was to serve a population of about 300,000 people. Well, now we're 1 million people, and a lot of us have dogs, and there's still a problem with dog overpopulation because there's not enough neutering and spays. And then the county also made a change this year. They're not a totally no-kill shelter, which is what a lot of people are pushing for.
Right.
But they're a mostly no-kill.
Which is great.
As long as the dog is healthy and is adoptable, they'll keep it until someone adopts it or until it finally gets sick, and then they'll put it down. And that has created just a pileup of dogs down there. They've got 4 or 5 dogs to a kennel, you know, which causes fights and which causes injuries. It's not good psychologically for the dogs, and so that's why there's this urgency to try and get this done sooner than later.
This has kind of been dust-up week in Arizona. The superintendent of public instruction, Hoopenthal, kind of walking back some of his actions. I think he's kind of walking back. He put out a statement, Dan Gibson, this week, saying that there have been false statements being made in the media about why he recorded a phone message for the Empowerment Scholarship Account Program and how the Alliance of School Choice gained access to phone numbers.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that could get distorted. I mean, like, there is a recording of him saying that you should sign your children up for public schools.
Private schools.
Yeah, a private school, sorry. Yeah, he wouldn't say that. My mistake. I don't know how that could, the distortion of it. And, I mean, and his first step was to tell the Phoenix media, Bram Resnick in particular, you know, that he's in charge of all of the schools. I mean, any public education that's happening, he gets to oversee it. So, I mean, it's a little strange. I mean, he must be somewhat thankful that, like, the media has moved on to these other dust-ups and other things. But, I mean, Hoopenthal is generally, his take has been the sort of disdain for public education, for public schools. So it's not super surprising. It is a little troubling that this list of phone numbers of students, of parents of students in underserved, you know, in troubled school districts got to these people. But I mean, I think he's going to skate away.
I think there might be a misunderstanding of the FERPA law. FERPA allows for directory information. And in public schools, you're given, amongst all the papers that parents have to sign when their kids start school every year, one of them is whether they want the name to be included in the directory. And most parents kind of ignore it, and so their name gets included in the directory. So if there are names on that list that are from parents who did not want their directory information released, then you've got a problem. But if all those are parents who were fine with the directory information, because FERPA allows for directory information. And so I think that might be Congressman Grijalva trying to make something out of nothing.
Yeah, because Congressman Grijalva has asked the federal government if those calls – he wants to know if the calls violated student privacy.
I think that's almost the – I mean, that's a side – let's just cast that aside for a second. But the very nature of, like, what he did is
correct.
The issue.
Right.
You know, like, yes. That he is campaigning for a private organization.
He is the superintendent of public instruction. There are some that suspect that he does not believe in public education.
Yeah, he's hoisted himself onto his own petard here. The Democrats just need to get out of the way and let him flail about. I mean, the interesting thing is that this has been picked up nationally. Yeah. So it's one thing to ignore the state press, but now he's getting hammered in the Washington Post, New York Times, on TV, CNN, Rachel Maddow. Hmm. He's trying to do some splaining.
Matthew is with us on the Buckmaster Show. Matthew has a question or comment about education, so let's go to Matthew. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just curious, David, if you had followed yesterday, I think it's SB 1100. It's a bill that targets school districts around the state and basically says that any unused or underutilized facilities have to be sold at fair market value, they say. Clearly, if you listen to the debate, you saw the Goldwater Institute kept mentioning Tucson, Tucson, Tucson. It's an attack on Tucson again. I know that you follow education, so I was wondering what any thoughts about that.
Dan Gibson is here, and let's hear it.
I take exception to your giving up on the postal center. The processing center is important because it affects wait times, and people who get prescriptions, especially from the VA, You know, if you kill the processing center completely, it's still operating. Outgoing mail, yes, is gone, but it's still operating for incoming. So if you kill it, you're going to have what you have all around the country right now, which is unbelievable. You have mailmen walking at 12 o'clock at midnight trying to finish deliveries.
Yeah. Okay,
well, the movement of the Tucson's mail to Phoenix has already happened, and no one noticed. I mean, it's just not a big deal. There's zero effect. You know.
Anyway, Mark and I disagree about the postal thing. Dan, I don't know how you feel about it, but I don't
really enjoy getting mail. I'm not super.
Oh, I love getting mail. But anyway, so Dan, so I'm outnumbered here 2-1. But anyway, let's go on to the education part of that.
So 110, the bill is essentially to say, and it is a targeting Tucson because TUSD was reluctant, to say the least, to sell any of their property to charter schools. That it came up several times. The Wrightstown property was in particular. Desert Christian attempted to purchase it, and I think another private charter school tried to get in there. And so it is sort of an affront to now there could be some argument about now TUSD does have a lot of empty buildings that are sitting there, and maybe is the battle even worth fighting in that space, right? If somebody wants that land and they want to do something with it, it might be in the best interest of the neighborhood and of the TUSD to get that stuff off their books. But yeah, it's essentially a Goldwater Institute move to say, listen, it's just got to go up to the open market. And most of the time, the people who want to buy schools are predictably other schools. You know?
So the school choice advocates are fooling themselves when they've created this Thunderdome competition amongst schools where they have to fight with each other, private schools, charter schools, public schools, you know, for the same students, that public schools who have excess property would then sell to their main competitors for their students a charter school in their neighborhoods. That would make no sense for that school district, and I completely understand why school districts would be resistant to do that. At the same time, I do see that public school districts that have excess property need to sell those properties and get that off the books because they still have to provide maintenance for them. And they have to provide security for them, and to take that cash and put it into their capital fund and go buy buses or pay for upgrades to other schools. That makes absolute sense. But it's really hard to sell these schools because a lot of them are right in the middle of neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And so if you want to turn them into some sort of commercial property, now you've got zoning fights. So what the TUSD and what Sunnyside are trying to do is to find other uses for these school properties that comport with being in the middle of a neighborhood that you know still has an educational function and can still serve as some sort of educational function. But trying to sell them to a charter school, that's just cutting their own throats.
As Dust Up Week continues, we talk about Hoopenthal. Also want to talk about TUSD Superintendent H.T. Sanchez and the news that came out that Dr. Sanchez gave a consultant really kind of the early track on a Tucson consulting contract. Dan Gibson of The Weekly, does this have legs?
It looks like it might, in the sense that Mark Stegeman sent out board member Mark Stegeman sent out an email yesterday, not understanding how to use technology. Everyone's
I think everyone
email.
I certainly got one. I think everyone in town.
And then he delightfully people started
reply all.
Yeah, yes. Reply all to it. So then you have Bruce Wheeler arguing with Mark Stegeman on the email. But I mean. Mark Stegeman's take is now mysteriously that he couldn't get the paperwork that nobody told him. Like, who knew that all this was happening, which is almost more of an abdication of his basic job description of, like, maybe you should find out. It's one of those things that I don't know if it's particularly surprising in the sense that the way that Superintendent Sanchez got the job, there was some challenges about his consulting work and all this stuff that happened. I don't know why it's like super surprising that this sort of thing is happening. It doesn't look great for a district that could use like good news once ever. I don't know if it's necessarily as sinister as it could seem, but it's like he got the job in this like slick way.
It looks bad, but whether legally anything has any laws have been broken.
So,
who
woman
knows?
Who is his personal reference and professional reference on his resume is told by him right after he gets the job, "Boy, I can't wait to start working for you."
Yeah.
And then he has the district has the board, asked the board to change the contract amount that he can approve himself without having to go to the board from $50,000 to $100,000, and then 3 days later awards
that
this woman
bad.
A contract for $97,000 and says it's all a big coincidence.
Yeah.
So we're not stupid,
right?
All right. So he needs to be honest about it, and if he, if this woman is so great that they really needed her because she's just like the best ever with what she does, then he should just come out and say that and made that something that the board could have voted on, rather than put himself this early into his career where now he's got this cloud hanging over his head, and then next time he does something where, you know, there might be a mistake, it just starts piling dirt on top of the grave.
What is concerning about his term in general is that he's developed a real sort of antagonistic nature with the media, with openness. I mean, that seems to be his gig. He will not talk to people. He does not want to do it. I mean, he does make appearances here and there, but by and large, they'll just shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a little bit of a change over the Petticone administration. I mean, like, it's just sort of seeped in that they're... His policy is that he wants to make moves without it being quite so transparent. I could understand that maybe with that particular board, that he may not like feel like the board is in his interest of getting stuff done because they haven't really proved that they're able to do that in the past. So it's a troubling thing, but it's also in the sense that when you let someone, you do a finalist search and you put up one guy and you barely allow that any sort of public conversation about it, then you put him in that job. I think he feels like he has a mandate to do whatever he pleases, and that's troubling. I have two kids in TUSD schools, you know, it just adds more.
It,
you know.
Let's give you the bottom line on this. This is not what TUSD needed right now. I mean, after how many times we've talked about on this program about the bad publicity.
Their reputation is so horrible. He has to be spotless in his behavior,
yeah.
And this doesn't help that district recover, because it needs to recover its reputation, not just its ability to educate students.
Okay, and of course the third dust-up happened with the Board of Supervisors, but that would take more than about 30 seconds and less than 30 seconds that we have to talk about. But the story will continue, and we will continue. I want to thank Dan Gibson for coming in. Dan, thank
you
very much.
Always.
And Mark, it's always a pleasure. Mark Evans, Inside Tucson Business. Thanks. We'll be back with Weekend Watch with host Matt Russell right after this.
Do you want to learn how to live healthier for your stage of life?
Then make plans to attend the Ages and Stages Active Adult Lifestyle Expo on March 8th at Casino del Sol.
Discover new ways to enrich your daily life. Stay healthier and be informed and engaged for the different life stages from midlife and beyond.
The Pima Council on Aging Ages and Stages Expo features 150 local exhibitors, a wide range of fun activities, food, demonstrations, seminars, prizes, and live musical entertainment.
The Ages and Stages Expo is free for adults of all ages, March 8th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Casino del Sol. Event proceeds benefit Pima Council on Aging. For more info, visit pcoa.org. Presented in part by Arizona Daily Star, Assurance Healthcare, TEP, and this station.
If aging isn't your issue now, it soon will be. So attend the PCOA Ages and Stages Active Adult Lifestyle Expo, March 8th at Casino del Sol.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business, it's not personal, it's just business.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now!
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready!
Okay, okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support!
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business!
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Offer ends 4/30/14. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on Cox Business Internet 150 megabits per second service versus basic 1.5 DSL. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Biosphere 1 is the world we live in. Biosphere 2 is an amazing reflection of Biosphere 1, a UA Science Innovation Center transforming, not conforming. Making ideas happen, like the massive new mountain slopes of the LEO project, which is reinventing Biosphere 2 into a remarkable enterprise for 21st century discovery and imagination. Biosphere 2, open daily, north of Tucson, America's Science City.
It's Weekend Watch Time with host Matt Russell, brought to you by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Just the short drive over there, three and a half hours east of Tucson to historic downtown Silver City, one of America's top 100 arts communities. Great places to stay like Little Toad Creek Inn and Burrow Mountain Homestead Park RV Park. Let's welcome now Inside Tucson food and beverage columnist, award-winning publicist, and there's a nasty rumor going around that he got on a plane the other day and took off for Florida. Is this the On the Beach edition of Weekend Watch?
Absolutely, Bill. I literally just spent a few hours today on beautiful Bonita Beach on the west coast of Florida, which I've named Buckmaster Beach for this spectacular day in the Sunshine State. Having a great time.
Yeah, and I understand you travel very light, just the Speedo and a t-shirt that said, "Eat at the Cracked Crab Shack" t-shirt.
That's all you need to get by here in Florida.
There you go. It is Rodeo Week here in Tucson. What are we doing food-wise to celebrate?
Yeah, so while I'll be sinking my feet in the Florida sand this weekend, I think you and your folks back home should scoot your boots over to the highfalutin Rapid Fire Western Grill for happy hour today over on Oracle and Orange Grove. This kind of place is great. It's walking through the front door. It takes you back to the old West and hats and spurs and Stetsons. All of that is encouraged. Now, Bill, when I'm there, I like to start with some of Betty Jane's fire-grilled bruschetta or some bacon-wrapped Mexican shrimp and wash that all down with one or more of their thirst-busting signature margaritas in that great saloon. I say giddy up and head over to Highfalutin for happy hour this afternoon.
There wouldn't be Rodeo Week without a giant cowboy steak.
Yeah, you got to do it. And our rodeo tour continues for Saturday. My pick is the iconic Pinnacle Peak over in Trail Dust Town. And while their menu is overflowing with the kind of Western fare that would even make Roy Rogers proud, I like to go big. And by that, I mean the big cowboy steak where a huge sirloin and tenderloin all come together just right. They say this steak is for a hunger as vast as the open plains. So I say head on over to Pinnacle Peak for some serious steak. Let them fire up the grill for you this rodeo weekend.
Yeah, something tells me it will be medium rare for you, my friend.
You nailed it.
Barbecue, of course, goes with rodeo.
Yeah, wouldn't be a rodeo chow fest without some great Q. And our friends over at the Hog Pit Smokehouse over on Tancredi are ready for you this weekend as well. The smoked chicken wings are always a great place to start. And after that, Bill, it's your cue to call. From a slab of sweet and sticky pork ribs to their award-winning beef brisket platter. Follow the smoke signals on Tancredi Road over to the Hog Pit Smokehouse. And what a great way to cap off La Fiesta de los Vaqueros.
All right, it's about cocktail time, time-wise, in Florida, so I'm going to let you go. Matt, have a great weekend.
Cheers, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan Better Water Pure and Simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. All of our in-studio guests enjoy a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of the lovely and talented Rosemary Brandt, our ace producer who does such a great job here on the Buckmaster Show, I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend and urging you to listen to the expert talk. It begins starting tomorrow at 7 a.m., goes through the whole weekend, then we start it all over again Monday morning with Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe, and then the new show, the new local talk show, The Daily Double with Chris DeSimone, and then Rose and I will be back at 12:04 with you on the Buckmaster Show. Have a great weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.